You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
I tell you, we don't really need to get into details, but we got finished work on Friday. And me and Mulls had a little après-ski session at the lobby bar, and it was a little bit extensive, I think. We don't need to get into details, but it was a little bit extensive, but...
What did you do to him?
Yeah, we both kind of just overextended ourselves.
Bad influence. Both of you.
Yeah.
Both of you.
You guys were like, I gotta shut it down for an hour, and we were gonna have dinner, and me and Mulls said, let's just have a little...
A little sea tail,
and it got aggressive, and...
And you were on the red eye home on Friday night, but you got on that flight.
I did. I had a little siesta. I was scared because that siesta could have turned into waking up 3 days later.
I was convinced we were going to see you the next morning.
Yeah.
So was I.
That's what I just said.
This is enough.
Yeah.
I went to the airport.
We were convinced of a few things. First and foremost, I mean, I know you weren't flying the plane, but we were concerned that getting through security and all of that was going to be an issue.
No, it was all good.
You're a guy who can compose himself. If Mulls had to go to the airport, they wouldn't have let him on the plane.
Mullen would not have been allowed in that airport. He would have stepped onto the curb out of an Uber, and they just would have flagged him and said, you're not allowed here. Come back in 24 hours.
What we were talking about today, I don't know how Ray and, like, even Jamie, for the most part, the schedule of just, like, travel just wears me out, man. I could have slept till 4 in the afternoon today.
Right. I've been so tired. I've been sleeping a lot, too. Last night, I went to bed at, like, 10 o'clock. We were texting about stuff. I was going nuts because my phone kept going off.
Yeah.
And I was... this close to being dead asleep by 10 o'clock. Me too.
I cannot wait.
And that wasn't like a bit. We weren't trying to put forth a front to convince people back here. If you listen to the show enough, you know we're very open and honest. If we took it deep in Vegas, we would be the first ones to tell you what club we went to, what we were doing. We didn't do that much.
The deepest we took anything was from 4 to 6 p.m., me and Mulls, and you guys weren't even there.
Exactly. And, like, after the game, we went to the loser's bar. We were hanging out, watching the country.
Yeah, had a couple drinks. We didn't. We weren't clubbing. It wasn't bottle service. It wasn't 6 o'clock in the morning.
No.
We were being brought home in a luggage cart or anything like that.
Exhausted the whole time because...
I got to be honest.
That first travel day was crazy.
Time, I don't even want that. I can't do a club.
We're not 26 anymore.
No, I can't. I can't even do it. I'm glad. I was never so happy. And you text me in the morning. I was home safe and sound. You were like, I'm so jealous. I'm crawling around this casino with cigarette smoke.
It's the worst feeling in the world when you know you're done. You've put everything behind you. I'm not having drinks. I don't want to talk to anybody. I just want to get home. And you realize that the people you were with are either home or on their way home because, Noodles, you left at 6 a.m.
Yeah, I left at 6 a.m. Saturday morning.
And Mullen and I didn't get out until 2:50 local in Vegas. I walked in my house 10:30 p.m. Eastern time Saturday night.
We didn't miss much for a hockey game that night.
Well, I'm glad I missed that Leaf game.
You don't need to worry about that.
I went back and watched the game in 60 minutes, and I was like, why am I doing this?
Yeah, I didn't.
What else do I need to know? They were awful on Saturday night.
They looked like they got to Phoenix after the game in Vegas or whatever it was, and they had a time. Something.
They left Vegas. So if you're going to play like that, why didn't you just stay in Vegas?
And play guilty.
Exactly. Why not stay in Vegas Thursday night and say, boys, we don't want to hear from you until noon tomorrow when we fly out.
Well, wouldn't you think for a team with that record, I don't know if there was the Austin Matthews effect where it's like, let's get this guy back to his hometown. But I'm sure the other 22 guys would have been like, are you kidding me? You're not planning this for the guys with that record? Like, you kind of say to each other, if we're in this position at this point of the season, we're staying over. And the players want the coaches to give the day off regardless. They don't want them to say, oh, if you play good or you work hard, you might get a day off. That's not the way it works. Schedule day off, and you just do what you do, and whatever happens, you can't act like a jerk after the game and say, no, we're not staying. It's no matter what, you're staying.
How much captaincy credit could Austin Matthews have gathered Thursday night if he went to the coaches and said, we're staying in Vegas?
Yeah.
I'm not going home tonight, man.
I got us a table at Intrigue, and we are going to
just make sure the engine is up tomorrow at 11 a.m. We're all going to be there. We'll all be in suits. And when we land, we'll skate tomorrow if you want in the afternoon.
And you can crush us into the ice if you want. But tonight in Vegas, We're going to bond or whatever.
They don't need to bond. They're a great team. It's not like there's turmoil or anything.
No, but hang out as guys and have fun.
You know,
that helps
fun,
the bonding.
Put the phones away, you know, like that type of stuff. Hopefully video cameras and all of that. Like you go to a club, almost the NBA treatment. Didn't we hear a story from somebody who played in the NBA said that the guys, when they come to Toronto, they end up going to these clubs where, you know, you walk in and the phones are like a non-entity.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and
no
and,
one's allowed
and
in.
And the guys take it deep and nobody knows about it. Like, that's, I would love, I always want to hear these back channel stories. And to me, that is, regardless of where the team is in the standings, that is good team bonding because it's just something to get your mind off the day-to-day grind. We had our rookie dinner in St. Louis 1 year. And our coach, Jimmy Playfair, was awesome about it. Guys, go have a great time. We're going to skate at 2 o'clock the next day or whatever it was. And one of the drills, we had a decent practice. Guys were chopping it up. But he goes, I'm going to skate some of the bad stuff out of you at the end. And because the media was in the stands, he kind of called us in tight. And he goes, okay, down and back if you got in after 2 a.m. Guys, the whole team down and back. Down and back if you got in after 3. People start going back and forth. Down and back if you got in after 4. A few guys start weeding out. Down and back if you smoked last night. Me and Kipper saw for skating, you know. Like, it was awesome. Like, you know, that type of stuff. And we were brutal in the first period when we played St. Louis that night. We were down like 2-0, 3-1, something like that. And it was almost like we got some leeway from the coach. And nothing was really said after that first period. It was like, let's go, guys. Let's dig in here.
Yeah, you guys probably said it, too.
Well, it was kind of a look, I think, from McGinley, one of the leaders in the room, like, guys, let's go here. And came back in that game. But it was something, it was good for you.
It's a galvanizing moment.
I'm not suggesting you do that in today's game, but it's these types of moments. You know, they looked flat, and you're going to have off nights. I think, you know, going up against a red-hot team tomorrow in St. Louis, you're going to see the best of the Leafs. And I think they can break the streak. I don't know why I woke up this morning thinking that.
Just to touch on, like, the going out and stuff, and I know that people these days, they don't really care about it. It's about stats and this and that. But when you go out as a team and you have a night with a couple of the guys in the team, it's not going to be the whole team all the time. But let's say a guy gets you out of a jam or he gets you home in a cab or whatever. You want to help that guy out. You want to play with that. You want to be on that guy's team. You want him to be. That's what all the talk about galvanizing and being a good team and teammates. That's where it happens. It's not, and it only happens 2 or 3 times a year.
Yeah.
I mean, back when we played, guys did it every night. But
it's developing relationships, right? It gives you an opportunity to get away. And
yeah,
listen, we experienced it in our own little bubble. When we go on the road, you find different stories that make you laugh. You come across different experiences where it just takes you out of the norm.
Yeah, like our cab ride to work on Friday.
Exactly. And all this kind of stuff. And it's all fun. It's all good-natured. And obviously, we're not professional athletes, so we just need to make sure the mics are on and we're prepared and we're off and running.
Right.
But that's life, you know? Mm-hmm. And listen, it's not like going to Arizona. Arizona isn't, you know, the worst place in the world to be either.
Like
you know?
Golf and good weather.
And I'm sure they had a pretty good time. It wouldn't surprise me if they did, and they're still in Arizona. I think they're on their way to St. Louis now. And by Tuesday night, by tomorrow night, I'm with you. They're going to be ready to play tomorrow. And St. Louis won 10 in a row. Like, this is an amazing story. The Blues are comfortably in a playoff spot.
They were in last place for
they
the
were
long
dead in the
round
water.
I thought they were done. Who
well,
didn't think
did.
they were done?
They were on life
Everyone
support.
Thought they were
Coaching
done.
Coaching change. And we all love Craig Berube. I mean, oh, you know him. I know him. Like, yep. You know, he took over there. Like, is this a scenario? I was trying to think of Coach of the Year this year. And I know it's always the outlier, right? It's always the guy who gets the team that's not supposed to be there.
Well, if John Cooper doesn't win Coach of the Year, it's an absolute crime. But I'll tell you what, this guy's thrown his name in the hat.
I'll bet you Cooper won't win it. It'll be Barry Trotz is going to win it.
But that's, you know, it is. It's...
If I'm putting money down.
I know,
down.
But dominance never succeeds. Like,
you're
dominance
right.
never wins.
Tampa should be the layup of all layups.
Right.
Like, they're lapping the whole league.
Yeah,
they're lapping everybody.
Teams.
But Barry Trotz is going to take the worst defensive team in the league, turn them into the best defensive team, a joke where Tavares left, they don't have a rink, and they're going to win the division, and Barry Trotz is going to win Coach of the Year.
And probably that's not a... Like, these
not like
choices aren't the bad choices, but would Craig Berube's name be bandied about?
It has to be.
But that's like, it's just I love the storylines because there's some real neat things happening.
Oh, even Billy Peters right should get it. Like he's on the TV right now. Yeah. He should get
Calgary. Absolutely should be in the running.
Yeah, Peter DeBoer. I mean, like
there's some, but that's the thing. The league has some real interesting stories right now and some real positive ones. St. Louis is one, but that's I think the Leafs have to really be prepared for a team that. Has tightened up defensively. Petrangelo, who missed 10 games earlier, Jay Bouwmeester was a healthy scratch at one point. Like they've really and Tarasenko was a guy who couldn't find the back of the net.
Well, and you say that, yet St. Louis came into the Scotiabank early in the year and beat the Leafs and outperformed them, and the Leafs were terrible that night.
Yeah.
Arizona got them twice this year. Sometimes there are teams where it just, for whatever reason, we'll find out tomorrow night. But again, Arizona beat them twice and deserved to win both times. St. Louis came in here when they were a mess. They couldn't beat anybody, and they beat the Leafs at Scotiabank and played pretty well.
Suffocated them, too.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, you could be walking into a situation like that tomorrow night. I doubt it, though. I think the Leafs are going to bounce back, and St. Louis is just simply due for a down night or a loss, you know, with everything considered. They're not going to win every single game.
Like, this kid Bennington's, he's a good young goaltender, but, you know, it's
he's exceeding expectations.
Exactly. And you know, Philly's a great story. Carter Hart, like, they keep chipping away. Like, it's there's some nice storylines. And I think the Leafs can... You can put a bow on the road trip. It was a pretty good road trip here if you win tomorrow night.
Yeah, it has been. Yet you look at it, you know, the Bruins, they don't stop. They can go three up tonight. They're back in action tonight. And the Bruins, now the Leafs would have two games in hand.
Yeah, a couple games in hand.
Bruins have won, it's 17 of possible 20 points in the last 10.
They're doing exactly what they did last year. Yeah. The exact same thing. They woke up on, January 15th and said, okay, our season starts and we're not going to lose any more games. Like, that's how good Boston is right now. Mm-hmm. And the Leafs are right there with them. And Tampa, we know who they are. Mm-hmm. But it is going down a path. Montreal lost again last night. The Habs are now in kind of a fight with Pittsburgh and Carolina. But
that's kind of where they should be.
Probably,
I think I said this to you guys a while ago. Montreal will fight to be in the wild card spot. And I wholeheartedly believe that. Like, I think they're a good team, but they're... You know, a layer below the teams that we've been talking about. And that's a good stepping stone considering what a lot of teams thought they were coming into the season. And Montreal, this is some adversity for them. They're a good team. They're not a great team. And they are going to battle. Carolina just doesn't lose right now. And I know all the talks about their little post-celebration.
Their celebrations, yeah.
Listen,
what do you guys make of that?
I don't know. Listen, I think
it's... My thing is, whatever you think about it, it's just like when your mom used to tell you, if you don't have anything nice to say about it, then shut up. If you don't like it, why do you got to go on tear about it? I played in that market. You got to try to get people involved, engaged, and they decided to do it. And if you don't like it, it's after the game. It has nothing to do with the game.
I like it. I personally like it. I think it's creative. I think it's fun. I don't think it's disrespectful to the... You're not doing it right
over.
In front of the team.
The competition element of the game is over. It's between them and their fans. So if you're not a part of them or their fans, if you don't like it, just keep your comments to yourself.
Well, but that's not the business we're in. I mean, that's not the way it works. I personally find it intriguing. It's unique. It's their thing. I think it's going to get old at some point. Yeah, I don't think you can do this. What, are you going to do this for the rest of time? As long as you exist, you're going to do this?
I would almost bet that if they did it this year and they got in the playoffs, next year it would probably end.
Oh, I doubt that. I think they probably have an expectation to carry it over, you know, if it works for them. But I'll say this.
But you have to do... Sorry, go ahead.
You guys know how I react to the smaller markets. Generally speaking, whenever we talk about Carolina, it's we goof on Carolina. Right. They have no fans. Nobody cares. They don't win anything. This has put them on the map within their own market. I think it's probably becoming a galvanizing cry for them. Hey, everyone else is goofing on us or taking runs at us.
Now saying we're a bunch of jerks, blah, blah, blah.
Which I think is a great idea. And if their fans actually are getting involved here and it's helping them win some games, do whatever you think is the right thing to do.
Yeah,
you don't have to worry about it.
A couple people in the Raleigh-Durham area that say... You know,
this is interesting.
Yeah, well, maybe I want to go be a part of that and see what the hell they're going to do after they win a game.
That's a great idea from that standpoint.
It makes them the underdog. I also think that's something that they can use to draw together. Hey, we've created t-shirts now. There's some people that don't like it, the traditionalists and stuff. it's something that we just talked about, things that can galvanize a group. They're on a playoff run here. Let's not forget, the start of the season, you have an owner that's trying to cut corners financially. You have a trade that, I mean, Lindholm and Hanifin have settled in real nice in Calgary. Dougie Hamilton's been really good for them. This is a guy who's scored 10-plus goals, and I think he's one of five defensemen that have done that in past years. He's done a really good job there. But when you look at that market, and sometimes guys need something to draw them together, they can be perceived as the enemy to some people. That's great. Inside the dress room, they know they're getting to people.
As long as all the players are on board with it and cool with it, and again, that market is cool with it, that should be the only priority. This is a regional sport. Yeah. Anybody in Carolina caring what people in Toronto think, that's your first mistake. Yep. You're going to get in big trouble doing that.
You know who we should have some love for? His local boy, Warren Fogle.
Warren Fogle's our guy.
Yes.
And he's making an impact.
He is.
And we love him.
Best name in hockey, Warren Fogle.
I love that handle. It's an outstanding. I think he's a Markham guy.
I was going to say, is he from Markham or he's like a Markham Stittsville guy. Or something like
it? Yeah, we're on board with that. But, you know, like personally, if the Leafs started doing this, I'd be like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I really would. I think if I had to put money on.
No one would
goofier,
be in the building in Toronto to see it.
Well, I don't know. If they started doing it, it would become a story. But I personally think it's a little bit goofy. Like, I really do. I don't think they're jerks or something stupid like that.
Right.
But I think it's a little bit goofy.
I do, too. It is a little bit goofy, but I could care less if they do it or not.
It's
Go
their
ahead.
Thing.
It's their thing.
And if their market is on board with it, that's all that matters. That's really, because they're a small market that doesn't get a lot of attention. And the truth is, again, worrying about what people in Toronto think when we don't care about you. Nobody cares about Carolina, with all due respect.
No, nobody cared about Carolina when they beat Toronto out of the playoffs either.
No, it was all like, Leafs all the time. And
you guys want to write the articles, just, this team has no business winning, blah, blah, blah.
It happens.
Exactly. And shove it right up their rear end.
Yeah. But I think it ends next year.
It might anyway.
Because I think it's...
You can't do this forever.
But say
you can't.
They're a team that's not a playoff team last year, or next year. Let's just say. That have some pieces have to move out and they have a slow start. You can't be doing it when you're, you know, on your 12th win, like grinding. Like, to me, this is something that has gained momentum and they're really enjoying it right now and it's helping in their playoff push.
Right. But they were doing this when they were way out of a playoff spot.
Yeah.
Like, they've been doing it all year and they were not in playoff contention as
they
early as a month ago.
Svechnikov scored his first goal, and they started it after that.
Yeah.
And they've been doing it ever since.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll see. There's still a long journey here left in this season, but they're in that race. You know, they're in it with Pittsburgh and Montreal. It's a three-team race right now for that wild card spot. Buffalo, I think, are probably done. You know, maybe not. We'll see. But there's still games
still
left.
Still a quarter of a season.
There's still a lot of time. But
still
Buffalo.
Disappointing for Buffalo, though. I thought they were going to make turn the corner. Yeah, and
but I think they had a really nice summer last year, but it'll be... That's why I'm interested to see. I can't wait for this trade deadline. Like, I think there's going to be some real proactive teams, not just their top teams. Like, I think Winnipeg's really going to try and make a splash. All eyes are on Ottawa, what's going to go on there.
Wow.
I mean, you know, do the Leafs tinker? Does Tampa try and double down? You keep hearing that Tampa's like sniffing around players.
Boston is definitely kicking tires.
Right? Like, it's...
You know, Pittsburgh's another team. They're desperate. Pittsburgh's not... They were out of the playoffs this time yesterday.
Yeah.
And now, you know, they're jockeying to get in and get out. You know, they can't miss the playoffs. They've traded away every prospect and pick they have.
Yeah, it's
they've
got to
get in.
Great scoreboard watch.
We'll head down to Dunedin. We'll get into the Marcus Stroman comments from yesterday. We'll play a few of them. We'll comment on it, how we all feel about it. We'll get our buddy Scott Mitchell in here. We'll get his take on it, being in the scrum. What was the mood like? Because Stroman, he set up shop, and he was popping off. He had a number of things to say. So we'll touch on that ourselves. We'll get to that next. But Marcus Stroman set up shop down in Dunedin yesterday afternoon, and this is why the media wants him to speak, because it is content for days. This is why when, you know, the reporters that are there every day, or the columnists that show up from time to time, whether it's in Dunedin, Toronto, on the road, when Stroman declines the invitation to speak, and they all tweet it out, Stroman declined, and people are like, well, why does it matter? This is why it matters. I'm telling you why.
Because he can't help himself.
He's going to speak. He's going to give you something interesting to talk about. And he's a public figure that everyone knows, and everyone's got a take on them, so they want to hear from Marcus Stroman.
And I get he is a great pitcher, or could be. But I don't understand the comments where he embodies being a citizen of Toronto and a Canadian citizen, or he embodies all of what Canada is. What the hell are you talking about? You come here, you play baseball in our city. You don't embody what it's like to be a Toronto. I don't know. I was just like, what is this guy talking about?
Well, there are a couple of different takes from that. One, he's always done this. Toronto this, I love Toronto, I love Canada.
Like, what is he trying to do, gain popularity and people starting to like have rallies for him to sign him?
That's exactly what it is. He's pandering to our self-esteem issues as the only Canadian team in an American sports league. Like, it's very simple.
Yeah.
Right. He's actually figured it out. It's a brilliant ploy because there are people that will say, oh, he's right. What, so Aaron Sanchez doesn't love being a Toronto Blue Jay? I think he probably does. He just doesn't yell about it whenever he is on Twitter or on Instagram or in front of the mics.
That's like the Stroman, only part I didn't like. It's like, dude, just play baseball. You're good at baseball. Maybe you'll get paid.
Well, but here's the problem. Yesterday was a big distraction, and we're going to get Scott Mitchell on in a moment. What didn't come out of it was the fact that he was one of the worst starting pitchers in baseball last year. He had a 5.5 ERA. He got shut down for 6 weeks. Yes, he had shoulder issues. It was inflammation. Right. But if you go back and look at the quotes, and I remember it, because he had an outing where they said this guy can't continue to pitch in the majors. It was either he goes to the minors or he goes on the DL. He was that bad. He had like a 7.71 ERA, 0-5 record. He was one of the worst pitchers in baseball. He was atrocious. This guy talks as if he's won five Cy Youngs.
That's where I was going to ask you.
But it's like he's Tom Seaver. But it's like you haven't done anything in your career.
I was careful with my words because I was going to ask you, like, is he good enough to be talking like
this? Not with this type of confidence. Now, you know, putting it forth and acting as if you're all good, I understand that psychologically. That's what athletes do, but it doesn't mean you have to buy it.
And putting in the time. I work harder. He's like, it's a 12-month-a-year job for me. It is for everybody.
Everybody does that.
Yeah.
That's my point. Like him saying, you know, no one else wants to come up here. Everyone wants to hide. No, they don't. What are you saying? Aaron Sanchez is hiding? You're saying that, you know, for the past few years, Estrada was hiding? No, they weren't. You know, and guess what? Yeah, okay. You're not afraid of the Yankees or the Sox. You should be. And they're definitely not afraid of you. Because if you look at his numbers last year against those teams, outside of a start or two tops, they lit him up. And it's getting to a point where
it gets old.
It's like, come on, man. Like, you haven't accomplished anything to be talking as if I'm going to dominate. I'm ready to dominate. I'm going to do this. I can do whatever I want on the mound. You're coming off a year last year where you were one of the worst pitchers in baseball. Let's not forget that.
His focus should be, hey, I'm going to come back and redeem myself, but less is more with him. Like, you draw focus. I don't mind it if a guy has confidence. That's great. But that's the way he's played is that's like a third or fourth liner speaking for everyone on the speaking for Austin Matthews. That's Connor Brown speaking for Austin Matthews
like
in the
Freddie
team.
Like Freddie the Goat saying, I work harder than anybody. I love everything about being a Torontonian, a Canadian, playing for the Maple Leafs. I put in the time. It's a 12-month-a-year job. Great. You're still Freddie the Goat. And this guy, you would think that he would say, I'm really looking for a bounce back this year. Like, that would kind of be the normal thing to say, but this guy doesn't say normal things. It's all about how good he is and how hard he works and how much he loves himself, and that's what he's built on.
Right.
And I think as the organization, they need to take serious consideration with a young group if they want that guy around.
Well, and I think that speaks to why, you know, he took some runs at the organization, and some of the things he said were understandable.
Like, I get it, but
he's not wrong.
Privately. It's like you don't want management to criticize you publicly.
Well,
you don't do that publicly.
I think he's concluded. I think everybody has. Marcus Stroman's not going to be a Blue Jay for a long time. I don't picture it. You know, like he came out and said he would like a long-term extension. He claims it hasn't happened. Now some reporters down there, Rob Longley was citing sources that the Blue Jays, in fact, did talk to them at times. Of course, Atkins isn't going to give you a straight answer on anything.
Right.
But again, why would he expect a long-term extension after the season he just had?
No kidding.
Like, why would anybody in the right mind think the Blue Jays are waiting with a $150 million check for you? You had a 5.5 ERA.
But that's what he thinks of himself. He thinks of himself as an elite pitcher in the big leagues, and he wants to be paid like it after that season, which is insane.
If you show it, you know, a couple years ago, he had an ERA low threes. He was top 10 Cy Young. Okay, you're capable of doing that. Right. But you've got to do it more than once. Aaron Sanchez did that 1 year. No one's saying that Sanchez should get a five-year deal at big money. Right. Aaron Sanchez wouldn't think that that is legitimate and realistic. It just, you know, it was a big distraction based on what happened last year. And I will say this, you know, if you want to embodiment Toronto, if you want to embody Toronto, taking runs at this front office is a good way of doing that, because everyone in Toronto does that. If you want to jump on board with everyone else in Toronto, it's easy to take a shot at Shapiro and Atkins.
But guess what? They're, at some point, they'll go, get the hell out of here.
Like, the thing is, you couldn't trade this guy and get like significant return now because of the way he performed a year ago. Now, if he comes out of the gate hot, then that's a completely different story. And for the Blue Jays' sake, for Marcus Stroman's sake, I hope that happens.
But do you see, just, this is a Jerry's on a Monday. Do you see this guy here in 5 years?
No.
No, I don't see him here the rest of this year.
No.
But that, like, that's, there's your answer. I mean, and I hope he gets his form back. And, like, I'm not down on the athlete. I'm down on the way the athlete conducts himself. There's a difference. And...
Well, and he took a run, you know, he wasn't, this isn't even a run. This was a realistic take about where the Jays are at. They're getting younger, and he said, you know, I would like to see more vets around. And, you know, now because he's been here for a number of years, he is technically a vet. But there are older guys on the team. You know, Shoemaker and Richard are in the rotation, and they're significantly older. He's the third oldest guy in the rotation. So it's not as if there's nobody else here. And he is the elder statesman. There, you know, Smoke is in his 30s. Morales is in his 30s. Pilar's been here just as long. There are guys still kicking around. It's not like it was when he got here, and I understand that. Bautista's not here, and Donaldson and Edwin, those guys are long gone.
And I love the comment, too, about these older guys. Like, everyone is bitching and complaining that the older guys deserve jobs in the big leagues. If you deserve a job, somebody will pay you to do the job. And if they don't want to pay you, they're not going to pay you. That's just the way it is.
Well, who was it on the weekend that was chirping about?
Well, it was Verlander, and now Stroman was saying, like, we need more older guys. They deserve jobs in the big leagues. If you deserve a job, someone's going to pay you. I thought I deserved a job after scoring 20 goals from the Maple Leafs. Guess what I did? I retired because nobody wanted to pay me. End of story.
And the Jays are in a different spot than teams that are competing. This is why the Jays can't really comment on what Stroman said when he was being honest, you know, basically saying, I hope they're trying to put forth the best foot. But he knows that they're not. He knows Vladdy's not coming up game one, you know, and that's pandering to the city because the city wants to see him day one. City would like to see them invest in Bryce Harper and Manny Machado and get going here, but they're not going to do it. Let's head down to Dunedin now, catch up with our TSN Jays reporter here, Scott Mitchell. That just felt like a big distraction to me, Mitch. You were in the scrum, though. I know it kind of started on last year's form, but this is a guy who had a 5.5 ERA and one of the worst seasons for any starter in the American League. And I didn't get the sense like that came up nearly enough yesterday.
Yeah, well, it's definitely an odd time to be asking for a contract extension and being mad about not receiving any sort of offer when you're coming off your worst season in your career. So it was odd from start to finish. And you know what? To Stroman's credit, some of the things he said were true. I appreciate the honesty. I appreciate the candid nature of that scrum. But man, when you read between the lines and you really listen to what he said, and you said it, pandering to the city. He's been doing that for a number of months now. And I've kind of noticed it quietly. It happens on Instagram. And, you know, he leaves out the Toronto Blue Jays. I love the city of Toronto. I love Canada. He has never once said that he loves the Toronto Blue Jays. And that's all you need to know about this relationship. And, you know, they're headed for a divorce eventually. And we'll see how long that takes to come to fruition.
And like in your estimation, what do you think the reaction would have been? And I'm not trying to criticize anyone in that scrum, and I don't really know about interviewing people, but my question would have been, why do you think you deserve an extension after that season? If somebody asked that to him, would he have, like, stormed off and that's the end of the interview? What do you think his reaction would have been?
I think he'd talk about the body of work, and you know he would talk about the fact that, hey, I went out there and pitched hurt last year, and that was the start of the scrum. He admitted that his shoulder wasn't right all last season, and you know pitching coach Pete Walker kind of confirmed that later. So I think that's what he believes his value is wrapped up in, is trying to go out there being a team guy, being a guy that you know, like he says, that does all this sort of stuff in the city for the organization, things like that. And you know the body of work, hey, 27 2017, that was a great year. That could be his peak, his peak years. And, I think he would point to that and say, look at all the things I've done. And he's done it a number of times. When he came back from the ACL, he's taken that the last couple of years and say, hey, look, I pushed myself to get back from that ACL in time for the playoffs that year. And, he's not wrong about that, but it's what have you done for me lately? And it's just an odd time.
Well, and we all knew how Ross Atkins would approach it. Ross was going to dance around it. He wasn't going to get into it.
But his competitiveness.
Yeah, he's going to say what you would expect him to say publicly. But behind the scenes, what's your understanding of how Atkins, Shapiro really feel about Stroman and his standing in this rebuild?
Behind the scenes, man, there's a number of people in this organization that are sick of the act. They're sick of the show. They're sick of the me first attitude, and then the kind of double talk of trying to portray himself as a team guy. And that's the reason why there's no contract offer. There have been talks. There have 100% been talks. Due diligence saying, hey, well, what would it take? And they are not even close to the same ballpark. And that's what it's going to be. They don't want this guy in the clubhouse teaching the young kids to be that way, to act the way he does at certain points, whether it's to the media or to opposing teams. I mean, he's had ruffled feathers all across this league, and the Blue Jays aren't interested in that. They're interested in him going out and pitching well and being a trade chip. And if he didn't have that year last year, he probably would have been out the door by now. And this is inevitable in my mind, because unless Stroman's price drops to some sort of bargain, which it's not. I don't see any way that they're going to be able to find common ground on that. And right now it's just about going out and upping that value and getting back to what he was in 2017, and the Blue Jays will start to field offers.
So they're begging this guy to be on fire to start this season.
That might be the most important storyline. Him and Aaron Sanchez and Ken Giles, if those guys go out and pitch like they can, the Blue Jays could be, the power players at the trade deadline, because, having a closer like Ken Giles and two, youngish starters that have proven to be, capable of both carrying a load and pitching, well down the stretch. It's going to be interesting, and there's so many variables between now and then. But I think this winter they just didn't get anything that really even got them into a room to discuss whether they would trade these guys. They need them to go out in April, May, June, and look like they did in 2017 in Stroman's case, and way back in 2016 in Sanchez's case.
So if that's the case and that's the approach, they're going full Houston Astros on this thing, where they are going to go to the bottom of the barrel. I don't know if a lot of listeners even understand this, but the Astros, 3 or 4 years ago, before they became contenders, they were easily the worst team in the big leagues. So that's kind of where this seems like it's heading.
Well, the Chicago Cubs did the same thing. I don't know that it's going to be to that level, because when you look at what the Astros and Cubs did, they didn't have a guy like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. that's a potential MVP candidate ready to step into the lineup. Bo Bichette is already in AAA. So their wave of young guys is a little bit closer. And it's interesting to see what strategy they have when it comes to trading Stroman and Sanchez, because you could get AAA pitching that is close to the majors. You could go dip down into lower level systems and find guys that are a little bit further away, which would probably align with kind of what you said there. So, there's ways to go about it. We've also seen the Blue Jays, trade a guy like Jay Happ for Brandon Drury and Billy McKinney, two guys that are major league ready. So, you're not necessarily going to see them, out the door for low level guys. It could be guys that are either close to major league ready or young big leaguers already, performing.
All right, Scotty, enjoy yourself down there. We appreciate the update. We'll do it again soon.
No problem, boys. Take care.
There's Scott Mitchell, our Jays reporter, live from Dunedin. So that's his read. I think most people have a similar one, that at some point this relationship is going to come to an end. And to be fair to Stroman, I think he knows that too. Yeah. So I don't blame him. Like, he doesn't have to love the front office. He doesn't have to.
No.
He doesn't have to have any relationship with them. Especially if he feels like he's got a significant case, even though I believe it would be flawed. But
ask
if he believes
Kyle Lowry.
In it, Lowry had the same thing to say. Stroman, it's not his job to come out and do the bidding for Atkins and Shapiro in the front office. So I get that, where he feels like, okay, we're probably moving in a different direction anyway, so I'm not going to pump their tires. And that's why I was kind of joking. The embodiment of Toronto right now is is pointing out that they're slashing payroll.
Right.
That they're not putting their best foot forward. Because how could you suggest they are? If they were, they'd go out there and just give the money to Harper, give the money to Machado, give the money to Keuchel and Kimbrel and others. They're not doing that. They're not trying to win. But Stroman knows that. He knows Vladdy's not coming up day one. He knows. But
and they keep Vladdy down for conditioning.
He looks beefy.
He's a big boy. But he can hack.
He can hack.
That's all that matters. He can hack.
Now, what the hell is he going to do for a diving ground ball at third? He ain't getting it.
Well, and that's going to be their explanation for why he's sticking around in the minors until April 12th or whatever it is.
Yeah, you can say we'd like him to get a little bit more mobile.
I don't think they're telling him anything.
He looks bigger. Like he looks gigantic. Like
Vladdy's a big man. Yeah. Like for a 19-year-old.
Like I thought he was big last year, but he showed up this year and he wheeled out of the clubhouse. And he turned the corner. I'm like, full boiler going on, and he doesn't seem to care.
I don't think he does. And as long as he's up there,
is he
hitting
20?
He's 19. He might be 20 now, but he'll be
Cecil Fielder in 3 years.
Cecil hit a lot of bombs, man. Dude, his dad was a big guy too.
Yeah. Like, he was never like that, dude.
No. Who's the guy with the Red Sox who broke the belt?
That's Sandoval.
Panda.
Yeah. Oh, the Panda had a couple of great years. He won some World Series in San Fran. I'll take it, man. I'm not worried about Vladdy Guerrero Jr. That's the last guy I'm worried about.
You're right. He's the top prospect in baseball, period.
Right.
But, I mean, he's...
Listen, it's not a surprise. This isn't us being goofballs. Like, this is a legitimate reports out of the organization. They want to make sure that he stays in shape and that he stays... That's natural for a professional athlete.
Dude, yeah.
Every player has to do that.
The feeds in a locker room, it's incredible. I was in the Chicago Cubs, like, just in the morning for batting practice. It was McDonald's, sausage and egg McMuffins, and then that got replaced with a pasta table. It was just...
Yeah, but that's a long time ago.
Oh, dude, you don't think they're eating? They're at the ballpark for so long, they have to have food there.
There is buffet after buffet.
There would be, but I guarantee you there's dietitians, I'm sure there's protein shakes
and stuff.
They don't care.
I'm not worried about Vladdy at all. He is the last guy in the whole organization I'm worried about.
Body type doesn't care as long as he performs.
Look at Stroman. Stroman's cut. Stroman's in the gym 4 or 5 hours a day. You know, Aaron Sanchez in great shape. You get a blister and... Not getting blisters at the buffet table.
It's a different animal, especially pitchers. Yeah. I mean, they just need a strong arm.
Anyway, fellas, I'm starting a new venture tomorrow.
Yes.
I'll tell you about it next.
We will analyze the Kawhi tape from the All-Star game. He played last night, which I don't agree with. I don't think he should have been playing, but he did. Anthony Davis somehow managed to get out there and grind out a shoulder injury. These guys can't play in real meaningful games, but the All-Star game, I got to be there. Yeah. I think it sends such a horrible message. But anyway, we'll talk about that later in the afternoon.
So I have a venture tomorrow. I'm starting a new...
What are you doing?
I'm teaching.
What are you teaching?
I'm teaching phys ed in the morning, ball hockey, to grades 3, 4, and 5.
How are you qualified to do that?
I don't know.
Don't get yourself in trouble, man. I'm telling you. Well, you got to watch yourself.
You know what's so stupid? I'm like, I got to call somebody to help me out with this. You know who I called?
Jerry D?
Yeah,
Mr.
Me
D.
Me and Jerry D are going to teach ball hockey.
Well, he used to actually be a
phys ed
teacher.
That's what I thought. Like, he actually knows what he's doing. Because I text him today, I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing.
I love Jerry D. I love him.
He's a great guy.
He's awesome.
Yeah. But his show's coming to an end here, yeah.
Yeah, I saw
think
that.
It just, did it wrap up already?
Yeah, it wrapped. But they,
he had a great run on CBC.
He's amazing.
Yep.
But I love his stand-up and... He's very talented. That's cool that you're going to do that. But yeah, you should have a reputable teacher with you supervising what you're doing. Because if you rip a ball by accident, hit a kid in the eye.
Well, that's what I'm saying, man. Do the parents know that you're doing this?
Well, yeah. My significant other is a teacher, so she's a reputable teacher. She's the teacher, and we're just helping out.
Okay. I'm just looking out for you, man.
I'm not going to, like, yell at children.
Chris Osgood's dad.
I don't know. That's what teachers do, don't they? They yell sometimes.
Chris Osgood's dad was my principal growing up. And he used to play ball hockey with us at lunch hour. And he'd get physical.
That was back in like the 80s, though, right?
I mean, he also gave me the strap.
I would have chopped him in the back of the leg.
We used to get the strap.
You were still in the strap era?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got the strap.
The strap?
Yeah.
I didn't think, like, my dad used to get the strap. That was in the 50s and 60s.
No, your dad used to swim naked, too, that freakazoid. What the hell's wrong with him?
That's okay. We're going to have to refresh the memory of the audience here because we're disparaging the reputation.
Right now. He said in swim classes, he geared down.
In grade 8.
Yeah, but not him. The whole class did. Oh, in high school, dude.
Let's get out of this.
Ray's coming up. Kawhi comments back into Stroman next.